guarantee.
Going for a new job is a daunting experience. If it wasn't bad enough trying to write a good cover letter and having the perfect CV, then you're faced with the prospect of the job interview when a bunch of stern-looking strangers ask you things like, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? It's impossible to prepare answers for every potential interview question, but there are a number of questions, like the one I've just mentioned, that seem to pop up again and again in interviews, and yet, when you're faced with them, they are often the most difficult to respond to. Well, James Reid is the chairman of recruitment specialists Reid in the UK, and he's written a new book called Why You? 101 Interview Questions You'll Never Fear Again. So welcome to the programme, James. James, first of all, how do you put a book like this together? I mean, I'd imagine in your position as chairman of a recruitment company, you had plenty of people you could call upon.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we did just that. We approached our clients and we asked them, what's your favourite interview question? And we got literally hundreds of questions back, and we sorted them out so that we had the what I'd call the classic questions, the ones like the one you just mentioned, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time, or tell me about yourself, or what are your strengths and weaknesses, right through to the curveball category. And we selected the ones that came up most frequently, or the ones that were most interesting and testing for the interviewee.
And therefore, what you tried to do, I presume, was to find out what would be a good and a bad answer to each of these key questions.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the whole purpose of the book, Why You, 101 Interview Questions You'll Never Fear Again, is to help people prepare for a successful interview. And these questions, they keep recurring. And underlying that, each of the questions is a sort of real question that, you know, that the interviewer is asking. And so we flag up what is underlying each question and give the reader a way of thinking about answering the question. I think what's really important, and what I stress a lot in the book, is it's important to be yourself. But being yourself is not as easy as it sounds. I mean, you have to know yourself, understand yourself, and prepare to be yourself. It's not like falling off a log.
OK, well then, before we get into some of the key interview questions that I mentioned, let's take a look at a story that you tell at the very start of the book about the Police guitarist Andy Summers, that you kind of feel illustrates the importance of being, how shall I put it, fully prepared.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great story about how Andy Summers started out in his career, because it began by a chance meeting on the London Underground. And, you know, when he went on the tube that day, he wasn't expecting to meet who would, you know, become his business partner, the drummer Stuart Copeland. But they hit off in a conversation on the tube. People don't normally talk on the tube, so that alone is interesting. But they hit off a conversation and they realised that they had a lot in common and that they wanted to work together. And I think that encapsulates, in a way, the best type of interview. It's a conversation between two people who are looking to see if they have something that they can do constructively and successfully together. And the best interviews are sort of real conversations. They're not contrived conversations.
Okay, but just on that note, I mean, that sliding door situation for him, I mean, if you think about it, like, when you say, like, a moment of destiny presents itself, and then being fully prepared is one of the most important things. I mean, really, to be honest, that was just luck, and he struck up a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote right at the front of the book, which comes from the film Wall Street, you know, that old movie from the 80s. And everyone remembers Greed is Good as one of the classic quotes from Wall Street, or Lunch is for Wimps. But the quote I like from Wall Street is, life all comes down to a few moments. This is one of them. And clearly the job interview is a critical moment, because it determines who we're going to spend our time with, you know, how we spend our working hours, you know, the key hours of the week, what we see out of the window, how long we're even going to live. I mean, the sort of importance of our jobs in terms of our lives is huge. And so the interview is a critical moment. And the purpose of Why You, this book, is to help people prepare for it and give it their best shot.
Okay, I presume people do make a lot of preparation with their CVs and make sure that everything is in there, maybe too much information, more information than a lot of employers need to know sometimes. But by the same token, I get the impression that you think people spend not nearly enough time actually preparing themselves for an interview.
Well, that's right. I mean, the CV is to get you the interview. The CV is the sort of the marketing that will get you through the door to meet someone. And every job involves talking to someone at some point. And so the important thing is the CV gets you the interview, but it's the interview that will get you the job. And I think it's a mistake to spend too much time thinking about how you're going to talk about your CV. I mean, what the interviewer is looking for is how you're going to contribute to their organisation. They're thinking about how you're going to grow and develop in the future and whether this is a partnership that's going to work. So I think, you know, the CV gets you through the door, but it's the interview that gets you the job. and it's preparing for the interview that's particularly important.
Well, you know, when movie stars are interviewed for those junkets and they come over to London and they get interviewed by 40 people in one day, and people think they're really kind of clever and cool asking specific kind of questions, but the guy knows exactly, oh, that's the such and such question, that's the this question. So when people start freaking out about what they're going to be asked in an interview, it's fair to say, isn't it, that the vast majority of questions are basically just slightly different ways of phrasing a small number of fundamental questions that every interviewer is interested in asking.
Yeah, well, the book begins with what we call the classic questions, and there are just 15 classic questions. And if you've got them well prepared, you're going to be pretty well prepared for an interview. But the way I've categorized it in the book, the 101 questions are divided into different categories, and the classics is the first. But then you have the career-based questions, that where do you see yourself in 5 years' time type questions. You have competency questions, which are very popular in the civil service, the public service, which, you know, tell me about a time when you worked in a team and you had a problem. Then you have character-based questions, which I think are really important. I mean, the meanest one in this category is, you know, where does your boss think you are now? And then it goes on through to the curveball category, which people are most fearful of. And there are lots of, you know, interesting questions that you might be asked in that one.
You talk about mindset. Explain what you actually mean by mindset, because you refer to that in this book, and you've also written about that previously.
Mindset is my key message, in a sense, because we've surveyed thousands of employers all around the world, and when we ask them, you know, you have to choose between two candidates. One has the complete skill set to do the job, but not the desired mindset, and the other has the desired mindset, but not the skill set. Who would you choose? 97% choose mindset ahead of skill set. So for me, mindset trumps skill set. And what do we mean by mindset? Well, mindset's in a way the lens through which you see the world, and it's everything from your integrity, your integrity and trustworthiness, through to your resilience, your grit, to your sort of openness to new ideas. And we developed the concept of the 3G mindset, which was good, global, and grit, in the last book that I co-authored with Paul Stoltz from the States, called Put Your Mindset to Work. And that was based on, you know, a lot of research from right around the world and what employers were really looking for. So mindset trumps skill set, but obviously the best applicant has both, the skills and the mindset.
Yeah, of course. But, like, I mean, this whole idea of mindset, have you changed your own mind about what the importance of mindset, having done your research? Or, in other words, are you amazed that it is up to 96-97%?
Well, you know, it was interesting. A few years ago, when the recession was doing its worst, you know, the financial crisis of 2008, I went to a seminar in London. It was all about the future of skills. Lehman Brothers had just gone bust. Unemployment was rising at a frightening rate. And the speaker said at this presentation, you know, the problem is, you know, we don't know which skills are going to be most in demand in 5-10 years' time. And I was sitting there as an employer myself, and I thought, no, of course we don't. But I know exactly what sort of people I'd want to hire in 5 or 10 years' time. And it was all about their mindset. I was thinking of people in my office, you know, had real drive and energy and were honest and committed to the organisation and had lots of ideas. And that's where the original thought came from. And I thought, well, I want to research this further and see if other people felt the same way.
Okay, well, then let's go back to what we were talking about earlier on. Let's have a look at some of the 15 classic questions that you're most likely to be asked. We'll start with that frequent opener, tell me about yourself. I mean, how on earth are you supposed to answer that one?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a frequently asked question, and it is a very hard question to answer because, I mean, you can go off in all sorts of directions. And I'd advise, you know, being acutely conscious that you're in a job interview and answering it in a way that's relevant to the job that you're applying for. I mean, it's very easy to go off and talk about your family or your interests or your background. That's probably not what they were looking for in the first instance. And it's a difficult question because you can either go on too long or not say enough. So, you know, thinking about how you're going to prepare your answer for that question, knowing you're going for an interview, is a good starting point, which is why it's the first question in the book.
But, like, just say you are going for something in the civil service or in some normal business, whatever, should you say that you go to Loftus Road and follow Queen's Park Rangers every Saturday for all their home matches, that kind of thing?
Well, you could throw it in at the end if you wanted. I mean, you just have to be wary. Your interviewer might be a Chelsea fan or something like that.
Yeah, okay. That was a bad example. Trip me up so easily. Okay, listen, this is like a bad interview. Okay, I'll try harder. Another one that causes a lot of hardship is, what are your weaknesses? You know, like, what exactly do you think a potential employer is looking for here? Honesty or your actual weaknesses?
I think, yeah, if you're not honest, that's a key weakness. and that's going to do you in.
Well, you've got the job.
That's going to do you in from the start. But, yeah, I mean, I think weaknesses are interesting, aren't they? Because they're often the flip side of strengths. And I think what they're really looking for is self-awareness. So everyone has weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We all know what they are, really. Throw yourself into a sort of a snake pit by saying something terrible, clearly, but you do want to be aware of what your weaknesses are. And I think that's one you can prepare beforehand. You know, it might be that you don't have, you know, if you're going for a job that requires attention to detail, you don't want to say, I haven't got much attention for detail, because you're applying for the wrong job. But, you know, you might say, your strategy isn't your strong point or something like that, you know. So you want to be clear that you've applied for the right job, and then, you know, there might be... And then I think you can also say, when you talk about your weaknesses, and this is what I'm doing about it, to strengthen my weakness, you know, to address my weakness. And I think that's quite impressive when people not only present self-awareness, but then say they're doing something about it.
Well, then on that question of the weakness, I mean, is it possible to say that you should really... Like, when you mentioned preparation earlier on, that isn't really good enough for most people who go looking for jobs... Is it possible to say you should really prepare that one and just prepare a few cliches?
Well, no, you want to avoid cliches, because we've all heard them before. And it was interesting, when we did the research for the book, we had workshops with teams of consultants from around our business, from around the UK and Ireland, and we had people who were very experienced interviewers. And what was interesting is when we put these questions out to the groups and asked for sort of examples of good answers, everyone could spot a bad answer. You know, if you ask, what are your weaknesses, and you say, chocolate, that's a bad answer. It's annoying. and everyone knew
it.
everyone knew it straight away. But if you know, you've given it a bit more thought and it's more personal and it's true to you, you know, it's true, you're being true to yourself, then it's a good answer. And that's obviously different for each person being questioned.
Okay, the one I mentioned earlier on then, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? How do you answer that?
Well, it depends on the job you're applying for, really. I think... You know, you don't want to be applying for a job and seeing yourself in a different world altogether, because then they'll think that they're wasting their time taking you on. I mean, I suppose if it's a big organisation, you might want to think about how you might progress your career in that organisation, if indeed that's what you want to do. Or if you're being entrepreneurial and you want to say how you hope to have grown your business or develop your sales. You know, if you're a salesperson, you know, how you've developed your client base. So I think you want to show that you're going to be putting in a lot into the role that you're applying for, and hopefully that's going to lead on to you know, bigger and better things.
So, like, be honest about, like, you know, what your hopes for the future, your drive, your ambition, etc. But you are going for this job, the one that's been offered now.
Exactly. Very much so. And I think, you know, if your sort of principal interest is sort of retiring to the Caribbean, that's not going to necessarily give them the right message for what they were going to be doing in the next couple of years. So you have to be careful about
maybe
that.
Maybe so, but it's probably honest.
Well, you might have retiring to the Caribbean after making a huge success of my career here might be a better way of positioning.
Okay, well, listen, as well as covering the 15 classic interview questions, your book also looks at other potential questions. You know, one area that's becoming more and more common and has to be, it's been associated with, like, companies like Google or Facebook, whatever, are those quirky, unexpected questions that require a bit of creativity or thinking outside the box. Sorry for using that phrase. Why do employers ask these kind of questions? I mean, what do they get out of it? Are they just trying to trip you up?
In a sense, they are, yeah, because life tends to trip us up, or tries to trip us up. And you know, they are trying to trip me up because they want to see how you respond under pressure or in difficult situation, because they know that at work that those situations occur. And a lot of it is about sort of being cool under pressure and thinking about the question, analysing the question a bit, and coming up with, you know, a sort of intelligently reasoned answer. You know, the questions like, you know, how many ping pong balls can you get in a 747 jet? You know, no one knows the answer, but you could come up with a way of thinking about it that might lead to an answer that was reasonably close to the real thing. And I think it's interesting because the interviewee, the person, the individual, you know, going for the interview is most anxious, you know, when we surveyed the job seeker about these questions, you know, being caught out by these questions. And I think that the key message here is don't be unduly worried about them, because everyone knows they're difficult, and it's almost how you answer them rather than whether you've got the right answer.
Exactly. It's how you answer, it's how quickly you might respond to an odd question. And you mentioned like intellectually reasoned answer, that there is no right or wrong answer once you know that. I mean, should you employ a bit of humour in an answer like that?
I think if you can make people laugh in an interview, you know, for the right reason, with you rather than at
it's
you.
It's risky, though.
Yeah, it can be, but I think that means they'll remember, they like you and they'll remember you. And I think that there's no harm in that. But, you know, and it's also suggests that you've made a good connection with them.
And what about you yourself going for the job, you as the interviewee? I mean, like, what about asking questions yourself at the very end? Is it wrong not to ask anything? And what kind of questions should you or shouldn't you ask, or should you not ask anything?
I think it's really important to have questions prepared for the end, because it can seem like you're not very interested. It can seem like bad manners. It can seem, you know, like a poor way. You know, because the end of anything is so important, because it's how you'll be remembered. And I think it's important that people have questions pre-prepared. And as they're going through the discussion, there might be other questions that occur to them that they can relate back to the earlier conversation and say, "You asked me about this. I'd like to follow up by asking you, whatever." And I think that is important, because it shows a real interest from the interviewee. It's important to end well.
But I presume you shouldn't be kind of like wondering if a piece of gossip you might have heard about somebody in the company is true, or anything to do with money or pension schemes or anything like that, or annual leave. They probably should be left for some other time. The water cooler.
Exactly. It ought to be specific to the role that you're going to be doing, the job that you're applying for. And I think I've interviewed a lot of people, and some of them will ask, you know, the job has been advertised at this rate, are you prepared to pay more or something like that? And I think you've got to be very careful if you're going to do that. I mean, you can wait later. If you've been offered a job, there might be some scope for negotiation, particularly if you're using an employment agency because you have an intermediary. But I'd be very careful about doing that in an interview, because it could blow it just at the end.
Right. Well, James, you are the chairman of recruitment specialist Reed in the UK. Do you remember ever going for a job and sitting in front of three people and the intimidation that might have been there in the room for you?
Oh yeah. I've been on that side of the table many, many times, and that's was a big motivation for me to write this book. I think anyone who isn't nervous before an interview it hasn't got the right mindset, really, because you should be, because it's such an important moment, and you've got to put that energy and preparation into it.
Okay, well, the book is called Why You, 101 Interview Questions You'll Never Fear Again. The author is James Reid, the publisher is Penguin. James, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the programme this morning.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a great pleasure.